Well, if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. There's been a whole lot of things happening over the last week and a half or so that have kind of made me reflect upon this passage, but from different angles. You know, if you were here last on Wednesday night and Pastor Gary did a message on, you know, am I really living for Christ? What does that look like? How could I, what would I do if I really wanted to focus more on him and less on me? What things would I change in my life that would really let me know and let those around me know that my focus is really on him and not on myself? And then some other things have happened that caused me to kind of reflect. And it brought me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And in it, we know that the Corinthian church was a kind of a juvenile thinking church, had everything they thought they needed. They were wealthy. They had it all. If they needed a new church, they didn't need to depend on the Lord. They would write checks and they would go on about their business. Spiritually, they thought they were there. And Paul came in and is teaching these Corinthians that, you know, you really need to grow up in the Lord. In chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, "When I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God." There were a lot of people at that time who were traveling around doing teaching, and they were professional, eloquent speakers. And there was an expectation that when they came into the churches that they would be professional and eloquent. And so Paul is making mention of this here, saying, you know, "I didn't come with superiority of speech or wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God." Also, we know Paul could have, right? He's Sanhedrin. I mean, clearly, speaking all the languages of the world, he could have done it, but he didn't. "For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God." There's so much importance wrapped into this one passage because he's letting us know, where is the focus? The focus isn't on the solutions of the world, if you will. He said in chapter 1, he talked about that. He talked about how Christ dying on the cross was foolishness. It was a stumbling block to those who were seemingly learned. But Paul makes the point that, "I know nothing except Christ." Who is Jesus? He's God. He came to earth. He humbled himself. He laid down all that was his to come here, to be born as a baby, to accomplish what he accomplished. So he's focused on Christ and him crucified. In other words, he laid down, not only laid down, but allowed things to happen to him that were horribly demeaning in the world, that you would look at and say, you know, this is the conquering one, the king that we've been waiting for, or how powerful is this guy? He can't even get down off the cross. But he's saying this is the power of God, because the power of God is found in love. And Christ laying down everything that he had in heaven with his Father and choosing to come and die the way that he did, that's the power, because it's the demonstration of love. "I was with you in weakness and in fear," this is Paul talking, "and in much trembling." In other words, he's weakness. When I think of weakness, I think of not being able to do something that you really want to do, and somehow you think you still can do it, but recognizing that you can't do it. Paul knows that it's not his power to save any of us. Any of us who have loved ones who we wish would come to the Lord, no, it's not in our power to bring those people. It's not in my power to change my spouse. It's not in my spouse's power to change me. It's not in my power to change my kids or the people around me. It's not something I have the power to do. But who does is the Lord. And if I stay anchored in who He is and what He did, and that He did that for me, then I can rest, because I'm not taking on something that's not mine to take on. My message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and of power. In other words, I wasn't trying to talk you into anything. I was telling you what I knew to be true. And God alone will draw our hearts. And if that message resonates and it draws our heart, it's something that we will never let go of. We have it in the most challenging of times. So that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Because if our faith is placed in the power of men, if it's placed on another man in any form, whether it's medical doctors, whether it's attorneys, whether it's counselors in marriage, you know, counseling, or what my best friend who's also raising children and I'm raising, if it's placed in anything other than that, we're putting our trust and faith in something it doesn't belong in, because it will fail you. And when it fails you, it causes you to be unsteady. And one thing that I know is that when we come to the end, I can walk around all day long acting like I've got this strong, tremendous faith, but if it isn't real, if I'm not anchored in Christ and Christ on the cross, then when it matters, it will fail me. Period, end of story. It can't do any other, because a loving God knows that if my trust isn't in Him, there's no part of that that's good. So be anchored in what's true. Be anchored in what the Word of God says, and help to anchor other people in that. Not that you have the power to anchor them, but you do have the power of how you testify. And if the message is, it isn't me, but it's Him, let me tell you about Him. He loves you. He wants you to come to Him. And if you do, He'll welcome you with open arms. Father, we come before You, Lord, and we thank You for the fact that You are a loving God and that You love us, that You've chosen us before time began to love. And Lord, no matter what it is that we do, You tell us in Your Word that there's nothing that we can do that's going to separate us from Your love, and we found tremendous comfort in that. Lord, that will see us through the good times and the challenging times. And Lord, You tell us we're going to have challenging times, but You also promise that You're going to be with us through those waters. You're going to be with us through those fires. And Lord, we feel Your presence when those things come on, and we thank You for that. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.